functioning in our gift, also in using that gift in building the community that we're part of. And as I said, that's going to be really important. You know, it's interesting. Jesus, you've heard this before, but remember, Jesus never, or rarely, if ever, until after the resurrection, interacted with his disciples one-on-one. Never happened. Happened after the resurrection of Jesus and Peter. But Jesus never interacted, as far as we can tell, or rarely interacted with any group smaller than Peter, James, and John. And there's reasons for that. It's because organizationally, it just becomes overly wearing to any of us if we are constantly doing one-on-ones. That's important. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying that if the Jesus model holds true, that over time, that organizational structure where small groups to larger groups to larger groups is actually a way from the beginning of God creating a structure in which intimacy can happen. So one of the things that we'll be talking about is how you can find a ceiling on the wall or at the table, place on the wall in the gate community, especially as we move here in stewarding this, because just statistically, over the first year of this kind of move, there's usually a bump in growth, and that means a lot more people to attend. So, okay, Ephesians 4. Therefore, in the presence of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation. In other words, so we've talked about function, we've talked about gift, now we're talking about vocation, where you are called, all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing each other, endeavoring to keep the unity. Now, the word for vocation here, or calling, is klesis. So klesis, charisma or charismata, praxis. These are three different Greek words, and it's important for us to differentiate, which we're going to do in the second session. So a word for vocation is a summons or strong inclination to a particular state or course of action, especially a divine call to religious life, entering into the priesthood, religious order, work with persons employed, occupation, persons engaged in a particular occupation. Martin Luther said this: every person is capable of having a vocation or a calling. Now, we talked about our core calling, which is priesthood. But today, we're going to talk about your calling and your gift and your function. Okay. Every ascension gift. Now, this is probably the core of what we're going to talk about in the second part. Every ascension gift of Ephesians 4 has a corresponding has a counterpart or a corresponding gift in Romans 12. And that's going to be important when we start describing the seven gifts, what sometimes are called offices. Okay. So our universal calling is as a priest. Our gift and function is Romans 12. You have a mercy gift, serving gift, leading gift, exhorting gift. And your vocation is seeing Romans 12 through the lens of Ephesians 4. So this is an obvious one because it's already there. So if you see Ephesians 4, the calling of a prophet, you look at Romans 12, you see that prophecy is one of the seven gifts. What we're going to see is that each one of those seven gifts, prophecy, serving, exhorting, and so forth, correspond to one of the seven offices. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then I have added two others that the New Testament gives us that is not in Ephesians 4 that are actually part of the pastoral cluster. So we come to the pastoral letters like Timothy, Titus, and we find elder and deacon very prominent. So I'm looking at this as apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and then pastor, which in the early century matured into a cluster of pastor, elder, deacon. This becomes a pastoral cluster. So you actually have seven offices corresponding to these seven gifts. It's pretty amazing. One of the scholars that helped me come to this was a guy named Tom Holland. There's a couple of scholarly works that we work with. Tom Holland, his commentary on the Book of Romans, which is got the endorsement of some of the who's who in academia, and Timothy Williams, also PhD, who is head of a school, I don't know where it's from. But they both saw this and saw Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 as more intimately connected than we have seen before. This more recent drilling down on those passages. So that becomes really important for us as we try to drill down on what your particular calling or places is, other than the core calling, which is being a priest. Okay. In making these connections between Ephesians 4 and Romans 12, we're not saying that a person has an ascension gift, because not all are equippers in the Ephesians 4 sense. But we can say that these gifts can be vocations that correspond to functions. There's an apostolic function, a prophetic function, and so forth. What is going to happen after today, and some of the alumni remember this, after today, Cameron and I will meet with Leanne and Len and Charles. We're actually going to have you today in the second session. Fill some stuff out for us as we go along. Put numerical values by certain statements on each of these seven profiles. Then we're going to evaluate. Cameron has a way of mathematically evaluating those numbers, and then we'll come up with your core profile. Then we get together with you as a group, and we talk about your core profile, so that when you stand April 5th to have the leadership of the gate lay hands on you publicly, you're being commissioned to and usually it's a hybrid, a teaching, prophetic calling in the marketplace. We're credentialing you to as an elder or an eldership function in the marketplace. So those descriptors actually carry over to the ceremony that we have. I mean, people are identifying you not as, oh, they've got a mercy gift or they've got a deserter gift, but they're identifying you as they have a prophetic gift, they have a pastoral gift, they're part of the global diaconate, they have an apostolic gift. And that's very, very meaningful. When we did this the first time at a more bigger scale, which was the second group, Michelle's group, I don't think, but it was the second group. It was such, I mean, Aaron came to me that week following and said, man, did people get it. This idea of recognizing, of ordaining, if you will, of the public recognition of the laying on of hands. It's a lot of why we started commissioning, was to provide, quote unquote, laymen and women, which is a terrible term, but provide others other than the traditional clergy the opportunity of being publicly acknowledged in their vocation. That's why all this is going to that point, which is really, really special. Okay, now, vocation, gift, and function in the marketplace. Here we have some mics here. Okay, here you're going to go with the mics. Now, Bob Beal came up years ago with something that you probably heard Stan Moser use, because he's used this a lot. Been very helpful in his consulting with us as a staff of the gate. I have watched him do this with others. Bob Beal came up with this idea that in the workplace, in the workplace, you generally find the leadership, and again, that's another thing, don't forget that everybody's a leader if we define leadership as influence. So that's why this is another important part of the whole course, is not to make a distinction between leaders and followers. I'm a follower in some settings, I'm a leader in other settings. We're all going to be followers. We're all going to be leaders. So, but I know what Bob Beal is going after. You know, the traditional leadership box, he says that there's basically three kinds of leaders, the designer, the developer, and the manager. Okay. we're actually going to take this, which is pretty cool. We're going to take this idea because we're trying to get this church stuff into marketplace language that is accessible for us. So what we're going to see, and all this is going to be on your on the profile. So we've organized apostle, prophet, pastor. We've organized the data, the profiles, according to this grid. So not just Ephesians 4 or Romans 12, but then we think, okay, well, this is kind of cool. You can see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Kind of cool. But how does this correspond to seven giftings? Well, actually, and I've talked to Stan about this, you really have in this structure, you have actually seven types. You have a pure designer. You have the designer developer. Then you have the developer designer. In other words, you have a designer, pure designer. You have someone that is strong on designer, but also has some developers. Then you have a person that is strong on developer, but has some designer. Then you have pure developer. Then you have someone who's strong on development, but also has some management. And then you have the person who is strong on management, but does develop. And then you have the person who is just manager. So you actually have seven different profiles here that nicely correspond to apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, deacon, elder, which we're going to see in the second talk.